Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Oh, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock. And if you were listening in the last half hour, I had the opportunity to fill in for my friend, Pastor John Lutz, and he's the host of For the Cause of Christ. There, he's on every Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock until our program comes on at 1:30. And of course, he was with me last week. We had a combined program last week on Good Friday. I was a guest on his program at 1 o'clock, and he was a guest with me at 1:30 last week. And those programs are available online if you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also find out more about us and our program there. And you can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. You can find us there, and you can even watch us live during our program there. In fact, it's broadcasting now. We had the last half hour broadcast, and so far so good. It's still holding on, and so prayerfully it'll keep holding on through our program now. And I just want to remind you that I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road. That's in northern Summit County, right off from Interstate 77 there, where it crosses the Ohio Turnpike. In fact, in the conference room where we meet, you can look out and see the Turnpike toll booths. That's where that close. So right there on Brecksville Road. And we meet there every Friday night as well at 7 o'clock. Be there tonight. And if you would care to come out and join us, we'd love to have you. It's an informal Bible study every Friday night. We go 7 to 9. We have some people sometimes who can't stay the whole time. We have some people who spend an hour or so afterwards talking, but it's informal. We have refreshments there, as well as people bring questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's word. That's what we do, just like we do on the radio oftentimes. And we'll be there this evening at 7 o'clock. So I'd love to have you come out and visit. And then of course, every Sunday we meet at the same location, the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. We meet there and we have our morning Bible study at 10 o'clock and then our morning worship service at 11 o'clock. I'm currently preaching through the book of Philippians, and then I'll be back there again at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening for our evening service. And I believe it looks like I'm going to be starting the book of Proverbs on Sunday night. We just finished the book of Malachi recently, and I'm leaning towards fully made up my mind. I've been working towards Proverbs, and so unless Lord leads me differently tonight, I'm planning on starting the book of Proverbs on Sunday night. So love to have you visit us. If you don't have a church in the area, why don't you come out and give us a visit? If you don't have a church that preaches the gospel or preaches the Bible, believes the Bible, why don't you come out and give us a visit? And of course, I know on the south side where we're at, south of Cleveland, sometimes it's too far for some people. Pastor Lutz, who I just filled in for out on the west side in Lakewood at North Coast Baptist Church, certainly recommend him. And then stay tuned after this program. Pastor Andrew Resnacko, pastor of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, will be coming on, and their church is out in Euclid, out on the east side of Cleveland. So I think we've got Cleveland pretty much surrounded with Pastor Lutz and North Coast Baptist Church on the west, Pastor Resnacko and the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid on the east, and then us at Richfield Bible Baptist Church on the south side down there in midway between Akron and Cleveland. All right. Well, a number of things I want to mention here today, and I was talking about reaching people with the gospel, And the difference between people maybe 20 years or so ago, when you were dealing more with people who had a basic understanding of the Bible and easier to reach, versus today when we're dealing with people who have a lesser understanding of the Bible and harder to reach. And yet we still need to reach people. And I wanted to mention this. I'll hold this up if you're on Facebook Live there. If I can get that around on the camera, you can see it there. The God Bless America rally. And it's kind of hard to do this, but this rally is going to be down in North Canton at the Canton McKinley High School Auditorium. And this is going to be running Wednesday through Friday, May the 1st through the 3rd at 7 p.m. And then on Saturday, if I can keep this still where I can be focused a little bit, on Saturday, May the 4th at 4 p.m., I believe it is, and that's at the Canton McKinley High School Auditorium in Canton, and the God Bless America rally, a number of churches. I know Cleveland Baptist Church, and they're certainly a good church over there on Tiedemann Road on the west side of Cleveland as well. But I know Cleveland Baptist Church is involved with it, and quite a number of other churches in the area going down through Akron and Canton are involved. And if you can make it there, it would be a blessing to you. Like I said, it's going to be going Wednesday through Friday, May the 1st through 3rd at 7 p.m., and then Saturday, May the 4th at 4 p.m. And they're going to be an emphasis on prayer on Wednesday night, on veterans and first responders on Thursday night, and I'm not sure about the other two nights there. But you can find out more online at GodBlessAmericaRally.com. That's GodBlessAmericaRally.com. And I just wanted to get that information out as well. Well, as I said before, we're a live program. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call. Our phone lines are open right now, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to have you on the air here this afternoon. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you. And I had mentioned in the last program when I was filling in for Pastor Lutz about a seminary in New York, the Union Theological Seminary in New York. And I saw this, the president of the seminary, Serena Jones, they always like to throw this stuff out around Easter time. And so she had an interview with Nicholas Kristof of the New York Times, and they published this in the in their paper over the last weekend. And even though the Union Theological Seminary's founding constitution states that the goal of the seminary is to promote the kingdom of Christ, and that professors are required to affirm that they believe, quote, the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be the word of God, end quote, and, quote, only infallible, the only infallible rule of faith and practice, end quote. But Jones made clear in this article that the seminary isn't that way today. She rejects, for instance, the literal bodily resurrection of Christ, and she tries to claim that the stories are all over the place, and she cites the Gospel of Mark as not having an account of the resurrection of Christ. And I mention that because I want to turn there for a second. This is something that, you know, the devil is pretty sly. In Genesis chapter 3, when he confronted Eve in the form of the serpent, he didn't directly deny God immediately or what God said. What he did first is he said, "Yea, hath God said." And he's not done that or done any different since then. The devil still does the same thing. And the reason that Jones says that Mark doesn't have a resurrection story in it is because modern versions, they cut off. In chapter 16, they cut off with the they leave out most of chapter 16. They leave out the resurrection of Christ. They basically close Mark's gospel with Jesus dead, buried in the tomb, and they don't have the resurrection. Well, as she's trying to claim reason not to believe the bodily resurrection of Christ because Mark doesn't have it according to her. Well, it does. If you have a King James Version of the Bible, it's very much there, and it's very much a part of Mark's gospel. And it was only more recently, under the effects of modern theologians, that they themselves rejected the resurrection of Christ, that we find a Bible that in and of itself rejects the resurrection of Christ. And of course, it's not just modern theologians. It goes all the way back to Origen and his corruption in Alexandria, Egypt, where he did not believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ. It goes all the way up to the 1800s with Westcott and Hort, who considered it heretical. And you can read that in their writings. So, but no, in the Gospel of Mark, he very much has the resurrection of Christ there. In fact, it says right here in Mark chapter 16, it says in verse number, let's drop down for time's sake, verse number 3, where it says, they said, this is the women speaking, they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a long white garment, and they were frightened. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Now, if that's not a talking about the resurrection of Christ in the Gospel of Mark, I don't know what is. You just have to say that it didn't happen like this woman does, and like so many modern theologians that reject the resurrection of Christ, like they say that it doesn't. And you say, well, okay, I'll give you that, but that you didn't see him. Well, here it goes. It says in verse number 9, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And so that's talking about him appearing to Mary Magdalene. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had seen her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. So let's keep count here. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, that's 1. He appeared to 2 more disciples, that's 3. And they went and told unto the residue, neither believed they them. Verse 14, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So he appeared to Mary Magdalene. Then he appeared to 2 of Jesus' followers there on the road. And then he appears to 11 of the followers who were in the upper room eating. And he appeared to them right there. So, it seems like he appeared to people in Mark's gospel here. The only way you can deny it is to deny that Mark chapter 16 belongs in the Word of God. So what do you suppose the enemies of the Bible do? Well, they just deny that that belongs there, and they try to get rid of it, sweep it under the rug in that sense. Well, talking about these things, we live in a world today where we're encountering people who have very little understanding of the Word of God. And I believe that it's our responsibility as believers, our responsibility as Christians, as pastors and teachers as well, but not just pastors and teachers. I believe it's all of our responsibility. Peter wrote in First Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 14, the Bible says, But if ye suffer for righteous' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, he continues in verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I love that verse. And the sentence continues. I'll read the rest of the sentence. We'll come back to verse 15 here. Verse 16, the sentence continues, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. But Peter right here in this verse says in verse 15, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, that we are to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you. Now, let me pause for just a moment here. One of the objections to the King James Version of the Bible that's frequently put forward is these and thous and yees, they're just too confusing. Well, they're not confusing unless you make them be confusing. It never ceases to amaze me that people will learn the obscure details and minutiae of whatever their favorite subject is. But when it comes to the Bible, anything that makes them have to think or learn something is too difficult. Now, let me give you a quick education here on the use of these and thous and ye and you and things like that in the Bible that will help you grasp why it's there and why it's important. This is and you need to know this to properly interpret Scripture. Remember, Paul said that we're to be workmen that rightly divide the Word of God. And basically, it's this. If it starts with TH, like thee, thou, and thine, it's a singular pronoun, okay? Now, that's important because sometimes it starts with a Y, like you, your, or ye, you, or your. That's a plural personal pronoun. Now, in English today, we don't usually distinguish between singular and plural personal pronouns. But in the King James Version of the Bible, they do. And you say, well, that's Old English. Well, actually, in case you're not aware of it, in the 1600s, when they put together the King James translation of the Bible, the distinction between singular and plural personal pronouns amongst the common people was largely disappearing. And in fact, the King James translators reached back, I believe it was back into about 100 years earlier or so, early 1500s or something, when they still in English distinguished between singular and personal pronouns. They did this because the Greek and the Hebrew, the original languages of the Bible, both of those languages distinguished between singular and plural personal pronouns. You say, well, Pastor Al, what difference does it make? We know what's meant. Well, let me give you an example. I use this oftentimes at our church. If I said, I'm going to give you $100, well, who does that mean? Does that mean just you specifically, one person that's listening, or everybody that's listening? And it could be that I'm going to give everybody that's that you know, in the setting of our church, I'll say, I'm going to give you $100. Does that mean I'm going to give everybody here $100, or I'm going to split $100 amongst the bunch of you? Well, it's indeterminate. But see, if I said, and I looked at one person and said, I'm going to give thee $100, that person knows that they're getting the $100 and nobody else, it's just them. It's just for them. And that's the distinction there. So I got a little sidetracked on that, but I wanted to mention that because here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, where he said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's not just a specific person doing that's requested. That's not just the pastor that should be doing this. That's not just the Sunday school teacher that should be doing this. This is every believer. This is plural. Your hearts. It starts with a Y, so it's plural. It is sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. He's addressing this to the bulk of believers here. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So it's a plural personal pronoun here. Because it's plural, you, meaning all of you, in the King James sense of the word you, don't have an excuse. You is inclusive to all of you. if you know Christ as your Savior, you should be ready to give an answer. Always ready, he says, to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Can you give an answer if somebody said to you, why do you believe that Jesus is God? You know, I had the Jehovah's Witnesses talking to me, and they believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel. Oh, they didn't want to admit it right away, but when pressed, they admitted finally that they believe that Jesus is the Michael the Archangel. How can you refute, you know, how can that be refuted? Can you refute that? Do you know Scripture? Are you able to show from the Scriptures that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh? Are you aware that in the Bible, that the Bible says in Hebrews, let me turn over here real quick, in Hebrews chapter 1 and 2, information that you can use to prove in the New Testament that Jesus is God. In fact, right here in Hebrews chapter 1 in particular, where God is speaking, and he says in verse 6, and when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. So God tells the angels to worship Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute, I thought you're only supposed to worship God. Well, how about this in verse number 8, where God says this, but unto the Son, meaning Jesus, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Did you catch that? God just called Jesus God. Right there in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, God calls the Son God. And it continues. That's just one area there. And there's plenty of other things. But how are you going to learn these things? How are you going to be able to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you? Well, you've got to read the Bible. You've got to study the Word of God. You've got to ask questions. And unfortunately, so many people don't want to ask questions. They don't want you to ask questions of them, and they don't want to ask questions of anybody else. And that's a real problem. Now, unfortunately, as I had said previously, the day in which we live is a day, really great deal of biblical ignorance. People are not familiar with the Bible. They're not familiar with the claims of the Bible. And you just cannot walk up to somebody and assume that they know the Bible, that they've even read the Bible, that they've even looked at the Bible. We're in the Acts chapter 17 sort of situation, Paul on Mars Hill, where people are talking about all kinds of things, all kinds of philosophies, all kinds of religions, but we sound like a babbler to them. They don't even know what we're talking about. And we need to know the Word of God. We need to study it. We need to learn it so that we can be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us. We need to be able to reason. In fact, in Isaiah, and some people think reason for some reason is wrong. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, God himself said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God himself says that we should reason. And, you know, I tell people, you know, God put something between your ears to do more than keep them apart. He wants us to think. And one of the themes that we use for the program is, who says you have to check your brains at the door in order to believe the Bible? Because you don't. There are things in the Bible that appeal to people who like to think, people who like to search things out. And we as Christians need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, so that we can give an answer for the hope that's in us. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do, can you share that with somebody else? Can you defend your faith? If you can't, why don't you ask God to help you? Why don't you ask God to help you understand not merely what you believe, and it's surprising how many Christians don't know what they believe, but you would ask God to know why you believe it. And help ask God to help you to be able to back it up with Scripture so that you can give an answer to those that ask questions about what you believe and why. Well, thanks for listening today, and stay tuned for the next half hour. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.